LB Michaels, welcome to the Angle Podcast.
Thank you, Stanley.
How you doing?
Good. A little stressed.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's all part of the job, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is why we wanted to get you first thing in the morning, because once the day gets going, we know it's not gonna.
First thing in the morning. I was up at 3, so.
I would have done it earlier.
Scott, exactly.
Yeah, should have been here at 4, right?
Yes.
Could have.
For those of our viewers who may not know LB Michaels, could you please just take us through a brief history of who LB Michaels is, the work that you've done in the past, and
briefly. Now I'm going to high level. Okay, hello, I'm LB Michaels, as you said, Stan. I studied to be an actor, so I was in the acting world for a very long time, did a lot of theater and television.
Yeah.
I then moved into directing. And then I ran the arts program for the University of Johannesburg for 15, 16 years, directed all of their major productions. Then I did my postgrad in performing arts management and directing. So I do a lot of producing and directing of my own work that travels South Africa and internationally. And then I ended up at Business and Arts South Africa, where I was the senior producer, a creative producer, and strategic arts manager, a strategic projects manager, I mean. And then I ended up here at Fakugezi.
For your sins.
Festival director. For my
sins. For your sins.
Absolutely. I don't know what I did in a previous life. I think it must have been something terrible, though.
Wow.
joking.
What inspires you to combine storytelling with technology? What's that thing for you?
I've always loved the gadgets, even in theater, the toys we have to play with to create narratives and to actually really to engage with the narrative, to bring out the narrative better, to create symbolism with all of these types of things. So this for me is almost a natural evolution into the space, because this is where the world is moving to. It's all digital. And now I've been afforded a platform where I can tell stories, but through a digital lens and a digital angle, through gaming and animation. And all of a sudden my toy chest has just exploded into a million toy chests that I can play with. And what inspires me is literally it's the telling of stories. It is community. It is sharing our narratives with the world and seeing how it's consumed.
So we're going to be releasing this podcast later this week, but just for a frame of reference for the listener, this is on Wednesday. The Fakugezi Festival technically started yesterday. Maybe just give us a very quick breakdown as to what you're expecting this year. I know you're tired and probably a bit under a bit of stress, but maybe just what have you put together for us?
This year, we're super excited. So this is my first festival as the new incoming festival director. And what I try to do with the festival is to decentralize it out of Tsimlohong as it was in the past, to move it back into community, because I think that's how we create sustainability. It's when the community takes ownership of something. So what we've done is we've pulled it out of Tsimlohong and we've partnered with people or entities like the Wits Anglo-American Digital Dome and Origin Center, Back to the City Festival, also various plays within the Braamfontein ecosystem. So this year, what we have is, yes, we've got all our showcases, VR, XR showcases and panel discussions speaking on animation and gaming and immersive realities. But we also have a program that we're launching, which is called Afriverse, Step Inside Our Stories, where we're looking at immersive content on the African continent and how we are creating that content, what the business models are to make it sustainable and to actually travel these various content pieces. We also have Origin Center this year, where we're looking a little bit. Yes, you know, the big theme is AI, AI, AI. But I wanted to just look back at ancestral intelligence and the evolution of technology and creativity and symbolism, so that you understand where it comes from. So that's the partnership with Origin Center. And then we've got, as I said, various showcases, exhibitions, delegates from all over the world. It's a networking sessions. It's about building your network. It's about upscaling your craft. That's what I hope everyone will get this year.
You don't throw the word like ancestral intelligence in front of a black man and expect no question to be asked. What do you mean?
That's what AI stands for.
What?
Well, you know, ancestral intelligence is the lessons we've learned over millennia, how to deal with things. It speaks to food sustainability. It speaks to community. It speaks to how we are sharing stories that we've always had, that's always been there. So that ancestral intelligence, it's been there. It's part of our DNA. It's been carried through from one generation to the next, But now in this very fast modern world, it's like, you know, quickies for a microwave generation. Everything is fast. Two-minute noodles and ATM quickly and deliver, deliver, deliver. We're not looking anymore at the values, the real stuff that actually creates character, that tells us where we come from, who we are, what we've created, and what we actually, what's our possibilities, if it makes sense.
Right. And you picked the Origin Center for the installation of this.
Yes. Well, the Origin Center already has all of that. They look at the evolution of technology and tools, how people use those tools in a creative way, how the creativity then turned into symbolism to actually showcase what they've been going through, you know, the droughts that they lived through. Yes, we do have droughts, and it might not be as big as impact as it was 200 million years ago, but yeah, it makes sense. It is beautifully, and also the artwork there is gorgeous. So the installation itself has been created by artists, so it fosters you thinking a little bit differently about the world and engaging with your world on a different level than just a screen in front of you all the time.
Interesting. Fogo Gezi finds its home here at the Digital Precinct Tsimulogo.
Yes.
Doing a lot of work in the startup sector, and I'm wondering what is Fogo Gezi as a annual festival? Is it a showcase festival? How does it contribute to the sustainability of the exhibitors, be it the small guys in the VR or AR space, be it somebody who's creating content for the Afriverse to tell African stories, the like, what the challenges that they may face as startups in the spaces. Does Tsimulogo or Fogo Gezi contribute to the sustainability of those businesses, or is it a platform upon which this small organizations and big organizations can come and showcase and create an environment upon which art can be created? I guess my question is really, what is Fogo Gezi in that context?
I think it's everything that you've just said, right? Okay. Yes, we're an incubation hub and an acceleration hub. So we incubate talent, we accelerate talent, and we've got various programs that uplift people, that gives them skills that they can actually make a living. And then Fogo Gezi comes through once a year, where we get a moment to showcase the work that we've been doing. We get a moment where we can showcase what's happening on the African continent, where people can come together and realize that they're part of a bigger community, right? So they're not alone in the world, because I think there's a lot of people just in the stuff that I've been doing where I notice people feel very isolated and alone sometimes, and the work that they're doing is not being seen. So this is a platform for them to come and showcase their work, to see that there's other people, like-minded people like them out there, so that it becomes a peer-to-peer conversation. It becomes aspirational. It becomes inspirational. And I mean, it is exactly what it is. It says it in the title. It's a festival.
Right.
We are celebrating. We're celebrating all things digital. We're celebrating animation. We're celebrating gaming. We're celebrating immersive realities. We're showcasing all of this, but we're bringing these people together to form a community. That is the most important
It's the community. It's the community aspect that I'm actually quite interested in, because maybe I'm a little bit closer, but I've been keeping my eye on it for a little while. I linger around a little bit, fair amount every year. You know, some of this is a funding aspect, but some of it is the early days. I know, you know, a decade or so ago, it was probably better funded in the sense, but there's so much cool stuff going on around there, outside in the country, elsewhere in the continent. That, yes, you're quite right. There's a really good opportunity to find a space where you can bring all of that together. Fakugezi does a pretty good job of that, in the sense of at least being open to other participants around the continent, and they make an active space around that. Then they use institutional relationships quite well in that regard. My question, I guess, is like, it's good to see that you've got a sense of, you want to at least have it spill out into the city, spill out into Bloemfontein a little bit more. I know there's other institutions that have popped up in the last year or two, like Josie My Josie, that have a similar sort of mentality of bringing Joburg as a cultural center, because it does have little pockets of really good cultural sense about it. What I would really like to see is having those almost like those block parties and things come back, where the sense that the community you're speaking of is very much involved. And that kind of work that's being done around the continent and in the country should be celebrated and exposed in some area. And what I used to really find was because there was the quote unquote party aspect of it, you'd find that people outside of the circle, outside of the space that are doing this kind of work, or may not know these individuals directly in the work they're doing, are somehow exposed to it and sort of seen it. And like, they come here and they're like, oh, this is so cool. There's all these kind of things. And they do it, you know, in the context of a party, it's fine.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in that sort of sense, you know, I do want to lead into a question about awards there, but in that sort of sense, you know, how you, that spirit, that sort of energy around this kind of work, which I 100% agree should be there, and it is there. It's just, it needs to find sort of avenues in a way. How you kind of
absolutely, because I think when you ask a question like that, we have to look at it as pre-COVID and post-COVID. Mm. Because pre-COVID, yes, we had the block parties, people were spilling out into the streets, they wanted to come out. We had COVID, and that stopped everything. Mm. And after the, and yes, it's now a few years back, but it still has its impact. Mm. You know, you can't. Even the funding cycles is like, we're not funding parties anymore. We are funding content. We are funding people. It is about conversations. It's about exchange of knowledge. So I think in maybe another few years, we can spill out again. But that is just what we've inherited because of COVID with all of this, and because of all the funding cuts, that you can't now have a huge big block party anymore, because I will rather spend that money in getting people to the festival than, you know, flying them in so that they know where they are and that they can actually share their knowledge with the bigger community, than having a party just where everyone's drinking and like having a good time, where it, yes, it's very important. It's very important, but the funding for that at this moment is not as much as you would think.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to hold you accountable to the lack of a party. I'm just saying. You know,
I'm also wanting a party.
You know,
I know.
But I just mean in the sense of like that exposure outside of
the new audiences.
Yeah,
right?
The new audiences. Audience, yes, exactly.
That's what
I'm talking about.
Yes.
So it's just a follow-on question from that is the awards and how you're approaching the awards this year, and maybe how you select those awards. Maybe just tell us exactly what the awards are and how you curated that.
So the awards, this will be its third year. It was created 3 years ago by the previous festival director, Eduardo. And it was to create digital excellence within an African narrative and an African continent. Because there's not really these awards. There's not another award that I know of that actually celebrates these things. And I think even though as contentious as they are, these award ceremonies, it's important. It's important to showcase the work. It's important to reward people for the work that is being done.
Why do you say contentious?
For me, any awards is usually contentious. There's always stories around it. You know, I've been part of a lot of award ceremonies and programs, and there's always issues of, oh yes, but how do you put the jury together? And you didn't choose me. And, you know, I've always added this, and because you want to be recognized. Look who won. Can you believe it? They won again. And then they don't realize that it's actually a very fair system. You vote through it. So if there's 10 people in a room and 6 people vote for this thing, then that's who's going to win.
It's always political.
Yeah, it's always political. So that's why it's always contentious, because there's always an issue. You voted against me. You don't like me. Why is my work not here? It will always be that. It's a lot, unfortunately. But then when the people do win the next year, then they're like, oh, this is the best award ceremony ever. I won.
So how does submissions work then? Like how does that process work? Your selection, is there sort of criteria before the submission?
We do an open call, and it has got criteria and guidelines that you have to submit. You then submit that work. That work is then put all together for our panel. The panel has a scoring sheet. They go away. They all do their work through everything, score against a million things, do the notes, do everything, send it all back to us. It comes. We look at it. We work all those scores out, see who got the most, and we still have a deliberation meeting to go, is this right? Yes. Have we done our work? So that's how it's done. And this year I'm super, super proud, because we got about 94 entries from 25 African countries. That shows something. That shows that people are starting to recognize the awards, and people want to be part of the awards, and they see the value of the awards. And hopefully we can develop this more, so that there can be a cash component to it, a prize that can then take the work to the next level. Because at this moment, it's awards. We're just saying, yes, we see you. And we're creating a platform for others to also see that work. But it would be great for us to be in a position where we say, okay, we see you now. How do we take this to the next level? But then also then we change the award ceremony. Now we're taking responsibility for the development of that work, where that's the onus should not be on us. The onus, once you have received this award, then the onus is on you to take it further, because then you know people have noticed it. We've seen you go for it.
100%. I know you're busting to ask questions. You got the hard questions, but
me.
Give me a second. So we're around the world. So I'm very happy you said 94 entries, 25 countries. And the reason I had I sent the pre-questions to you, the one question was, do the Fakugezi Awards still matter? And the context to why I said that wasn't necessarily me saying, oh, I'm being disgruntled. You've never accepted my submission, so, you know. So there was
he's never accepted it, and he is disgruntled.
So a couple of weeks ago, in fact, we were here. I was part of the Electric South convening thing. We were talking about policy issues around AI and artwork and so forth. And one of the guys that have been around for a long time, I won't name him, but really well-respected, globally immersive artist, world builder. He asked a question. We were sitting out here, and he said, you know, oh, we mentioned the Fakugezi coming up. And he kind of was like, oh, you know, the Fakugezi Awards, do they still matter? And I was like, it spun me a little bit, because I was like, yeah, of course they still matter. But I was concerned in the sense that an individual that is very much in the space, like, and he's been involved in the awards previously, would ask a question. I was like, well, where does that come from? Is that just, oh, it's not on my social feeds coming from that space, or how does that work? And I was very happy to, when you, because I know there's more activity going on behind the scenes. I'm just wondering, maybe the awards themselves, and this is leads to my further comment, earlier comments about, you know, spilling outside of the ecosystem that is here and your partners and so forth into the general public. How can we all help you, or help the general, I don't want to say ecosystem, because then I mean in here, but the general vibe of the Fakugezi and the awards, or it doesn't have to be Fakugezi per se, but the celebration of these kind of works. You know, what would be your viewpoint in terms of the festival is one of them, but throughout the year, how can we maybe expand this so it's a little more in people's, in their feeds? I mean, that's all that matters these days. Is it in my feed or is it not, you know?
Yeah. You know, when you ask the question, does the award still matter? I just said we're in our third year. So it means we've had it for 2 years before that. So that's a very weird question. Does it still matter? We saw two iterations of it. So let's rather ask the question then, does any award still matter? Full stop. Mm-hmm. Does the Naledi Awards still matter? Does the South African Film and TV Awards still matter? It's still there, but it creates legacy. And slowly but surely, it builds a community.
Right.
Slowly but surely, it builds reputation. So give us another 5, 10 years, yes, and hopefully we'll have the gravitas as well. And that's where we're going to. But yes, awards still matter, because people need that recognition. We need to be celebrating our own artists. If we're not celebrating them, who will? So these types of awards for me is like, as I said, it's noticing people and making them see that people are seeing their work,
right,
and that they're not alone and just working in this big vacuum. So that for me is why it still matters.
100%.
Interesting. Because to me, the awards are not just a token of appreciation. I mean, it's a bit more than that. It's the work that you put in.
Exactly.
The fact that we can see the work and the stories that you're telling in that work too. We're not only celebrating the final product.
Yes.
And I mean, imagine you telling African stories with the product that you create, and that award celebrates the stories that you're telling in this. So the awards, I think they're very important.
But also on that, you know, if you look at it, if you look at the nominees, would you have known about that work if we didn't tell you these are the 10 nominees?
No, that's exactly the point. Yeah. 100%.
So just even, it's not even just always about winning it, but being nominated, because out of those 10 nominees, you go, okay, there we go. Now, I want to actually have a look at this work. Oh, I didn't know this is happening. I want to have a look at it. So that for me is also part of the power of an award, not just winning.
Interesting. So Fagu Gezi, I think colloquially could be used to mean power up.
Yeah. Put in electricity. Switch on.
Right. Fagu Gezi.
Fagu Gezi.
Yes. Your theme this year is power in, power up. What inspired that? What was the thinking behind this piece?
So it's twofold for me. You know, as the incoming festival director, I wanted to make a little bit of a noise, saying that things is going to be a little bit different. I'm not saying it was bad, but just the way that I want to do things. So it's a surge of new ideas, new energy. But also for me at this point, there's a big movement we saw last year, right?
Yeah.
In an US election year, that there was about 65 billion rand invested in financial startups and tech and SMEs and creativity in the African continent. So that shows that there's a movement within the continent, and that there's energy and electricity happening. And what I wanted to say is, like, if we all band together, then the movement forward is going to create that surge. Mm. We're going to own our digital agency. We're not going to just be an adapter anymore. You know, we become an extension cord. You plug into our continent and we give you the energy out instead of just coming in and using our resources.
Mm.
I wanted it to be once again, coming to community. You can't create a surge by yourself.
Right.
You know, if in war you run against an army, that's not a surge. But if you've got 10,000 people running with you, then that's a surge. So it's also about coming together and moving forward with a singular purpose. Mm. And that's what I wanted to do, to say, okay, this is time for us to stand up and to own that agency. Because I think we have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's time, right? So that's where
it's about damn time.
It's damn time. I agree.
Mm.
Interesting. And what are your thoughts on issues like data sovereignty? I mean, we're creating, we're using these digital platforms, different kinds of technologies, but the data really doesn't sit with us. Are we creating data for the West to create more products for us to keep using? They're mining our data, we're creating the products, yet we have this surge. We're banding together as a community of creatives and entrepreneurs building great products, but we don't own the tech, we don't own the digital platforms. What are your thoughts on the challenges there?
Well, this is part of the power surge theme. It's a call to action, because we have all these data points and none of them really reflect an African narrative. And there's so many conversations about that happening, but it's just conversations. So what's the actions happening within that? Who are the people that's currently working at that intersection? Because it's important. And my thoughts on that is, I think we are being used. I think they are mining not not only our data, but our knowledge and our talent, if it makes sense. And somehow we're going to have to come together and say, all right, how do we now create a different data set point that is absolutely through an African lens? And I don't have the answers for that. I can create a platform for people to come and speak and to unpack and for that discourse to happen, to say, how do we move forward with action and purpose? That I can do, but I can't myself change that. But I've been offered a platform.
But this is why we had you on the show. We thought you had those answers.
Dear man, I didn't see that question. Sorry, Scott.
I thought he actually worked in regulation. He was like, no, you know, currently we got this regulation and we will have our own technology and data centers.
So here's a it's not unrelated question, but a related question in the sense of all these good works that are coming through the awards, for example, all the submissions. And this is a bit of a sticking point for me in terms of what I would really like to see. And this is where your relationships with funders and other institutions here, which maybe you can tell us a little bit more about. What I'm looking for is almost like a centralized repository where I can view all kinds of pieces of work that have, whether it's immersive, gaming, animation, whatever the case may be, in a place and say, oh, this is what's been coming through, you know, whether it's these awards or where it's coming through in Africa. Because you used to have places like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Within app a few years ago, it's no longer there, but it was essentially a collection of all the best immersive works from around the world and the different producers, different backgrounds in terms of funding or commercial, whatever the case may be. But it was a place where someone like myself that was interested in the space could go and view all these kind of good works. Because at the moment, we're in a space where you hear about a really good work or it pops up in awards or it pops up in a documentary fest of some sort, and then it kind of disappears and you can't find it anywhere else again. It's not on an app store, it's not on YouTube or whatever the case may be. What I would really like to see is like a centralized place where I know that, you know, 5 years down the line or from 5 years ago, I can view a piece that won or a piece that was in the finals. I can kind of experience it. That kind of space where we're really sort of creating a repository is the best word for it, where of African creativity in the digital space.
Absolutely.
That somehow stands the test of time. It's not buried on some server somewhere else that no one can access. It's kind of sitting there.
Look, I think there's various platforms like the ITFA Festival and all of that that have some of these repositories because you're speaking about a library and this is the evolution of a library in the modern time. How does our modern libraries look? But my question to you is like, where is the Within app now?
Why is it closed up?
Because I'm going to tell you exactly why it's funding. Right? And funding is the issue. So yes, we would love to have a thing like that, but it's a lot of money to host all of that data and then to update it and to make sure it's there. And that's a lot of human resources and it's possible. But the funding cycles, programs have literally been slashed. And for that, they'll rather do entrepreneurship and create skills development for people than creating a library. And that, I mean, it's a little bit of a sort of Democles hanging over your head. There we go. Yes. Because what you do, you damn if you do, you damn if you don't.
So the follow-up question then is with your funders, the institutions that come forward with Fakugezi, what's in it for them really? In the sense that, you know, I know there's a world of cultural exchange that exists and you know, there's support for artists doing interesting work. What's in it for them? From your perspective, like how does this ecosystem really work around Fakugezi and the value structures? How do you see it?
Well, I think the new it thing is digital innovation. That's where the world is going to. So everyone wants to be part of the development of a digital future on an African continent. So for them, it's being part of something that is going to change the world. And because we know there's a lot of barriers currently when it comes to digital world, right? The digital disciplines we've got. Data. Who has access to data? It's not free. Who has access to not just the data, but then the tools?
Right.
Where do they get those tools? And then also, yes, once they have the tools, do they actually have the skills to use those tools and stuff like that? So I think a place like Fakugezi allows people to come together and say, oh, okay, they feel that they're part of something great, that there's visibility, and that there's a movement towards something. Once again, we're a festival. We're not changing the world. We're celebrating stuff. I want to change the world. Hopefully we can try and change the world, but it's a festival, and the funders, I think, want to come. They want to celebrate. They want to showcase the work that they're doing, because, as you said, where are all these platforms showcasing the work? There's not many of them, especially on the African continent. We are the premier African digital innovation festival. So what does the other festivals look like? So they want to come to the premiere so that they can be part of it, so that we can strengthen this ecosystem, because it's already proven itself.
Mm.
So how can we then invest in it and try and push it even forward? How do we take it to the next level? And I think our investors wants to be part of that, because all of our funders and partners that we brought on this year, they're dedicated to this cause.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not just funding, but I'll rather bring in someone that I know that has done work with us before, but they have not had a platform. Can we showcase them at Fakugezi? Of course, because we know the world is coming together in Braamfontein over these 6 days. So let's show the world what they're doing. It's a platform.
Sounds like a difficult thing to pull together, man.
It's a beast with many heads. Absolutely.
And how do you put it down?
It's teamwork, I guess. Passion. Dedication, and you need to have the will to want to try in your own small way. I'm going to speak for myself, in my own small way, to change the world a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
To do what I can do, to use the platform that I've been given to create access, to create awareness. And then you find partners that has the same vision. They come together and then we collaborate in making something big. And sometimes it's not big, something is small, but as it evolves over a year or two or three, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how you pull it together, with gaffer tape and a dream.
So let me fill in a little bit of context from my perspective, in the sense why I'm asking you about value structures and funding and so forth. The first question you can maybe think about is, do you see at least some percentage of the festival taking on a commercial aspect? My background is a little more commercial. It's only since that I've left a sort of direct commercial worlds from a media perspective that I've started learning about the funded world and how it works and how that value exchange works. And to my question earlier about a repository, I know that work I produced 20 years ago is still available where I've initially published it within those commercial structures, because that's kind of the way the model works. Like the expenses of keeping that going is kind of, it's weaved into, you know, the commercial model. I would like to see the same thing with funding, but I do get your point in how that's not how funding works, in the sense that if you want to build that, you do require funders in order to build it. And I'm asking, when you're thinking about Fakugezi and this longevity and hopefully, you know, you want to take this forward for the next few years, do you see a commercial aspect somehow coming into the fold a little bit in some sense, or creating a value structure where commercial interest might be able to plug in some way, or how are you thinking about it?
No, absolutely. And it has to, I think, that's also connected for me to awareness. If you want to go commercial, then you need to create awareness, and people need to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and when you're doing it. And I think this digital aspect of things and where the world is moving to is a little bit new for people still, when you speak about AI and you speak of this, and now we're having a festival that's celebrating gaming. Why are we celebrating gaming? They don't know the impact that game has on the social fabric of a community. Ideally, what I'm hoping for is almost to look at this like a funding structure like Decorex, Okay. Right. So I'm hoping that in the next 3 to 5 years, I can pull something together where we can have like a Decorex setup where people from all over the African continent can come and showcase work, but not just work, but services, not just services, but work that can be done in the digital sphere, so that you create this thing and you buy a stall and you showcase the work. And that is then how we become commercially viable and sustainable. Why? Because those things will then support the festival itself, because then I can get people working at the intersection of performing arts and digital and music and digital, and I can showcase that and I can fund it and I can curate it and I can actually commission work. And that's how the festival, I think, will then will be sustainable. But then it's also creating a larger awareness campaign almost, because if you can imagine, for example, Wits has the Flower Hall, which is 3 levels where they usually write exams, and it's huge. And my hope is to take over floor by floor by floor in the next 10 years, so that nice. We do Fakugezi Festival. It is like Decorex. So all the talks that happens here at Tsimlokgong now will form part of there, and it's part of, it's built in between the stalls, and there's the celebration becomes bigger. And that's how you also then get people to come, when it's exciting, because now it sounds like, oh, we're only doing talks and we're only doing this. And it's...
Yeah, no, 100%, because that's where longevity sits. As soon as you can show an ROI to someone bringing money to the, suddenly it's like, oh, we can actually make money here. Or, you know, there's dotted line to the growth of my business in some sense.
Yes.
In a sort of very direct model space. And that's how you suddenly you move forward from finding money every year to like having a sustainable show that wins everyone involved. Yeah,
because then if you give that to your funders, they know in 6 days we're going to now expect 10,000 people. That's a return on investment, just telling them that alone. And then you get those investors, and what we then do is now we start using their networks as well, because okay, I'm having my stall there, but I want people to come and see my work. So now they start creating awareness campaigns from them as well. So, you know, now the ecosystem explodes all of a sudden, and you're not just doing it by yourself all alone, because you can't do that. How do we reach all of these people? It's impossible. The only way to reach it is if the whole ecosystem bands together and says, all right, now we're creating this awareness. Now we're creating impact.
Interesting. I don't want to say, maybe you might think it's a dirty word, but not, it's Comic Con-ish model.
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't want to pump you as comic, you know, you know what I mean? But
no,
that sort of model, that sort it, of
but
sense
that's
of like.
The model, exactly. Yeah. Because that is where that. Did you go to this year's Comic Con? But once again, for example, like Ava Josie's free. And that then tells me that you need to find a funder that understands the impact of the work and the importance of the work, to make it accessible, to say to people, you know what? If you don't know, it's for free. Come and see.
Right.
So it's a snake eating its own tail, right?
Well, I think we're slowly running out of time, and I know the festival is in full gear.
There's people here with their noses and eyes against the window knocking, saying, come, right in.
So can you please take us through the program this year, from Fakugezi Pro, Afriverse, Showcase, ProTrasage, everything. What do you have for us in this festival?
So let's start. Historically, Fakugezi has always had the intermediaries program that was developed by Dr. Tegan Bristow, the first artistic director of the festival. And that was focusing on the people surrounding these pipelines, the animation pipeline, the gaming pipeline. Who are the people surrounding it? The producers, the funders, the thought leaders, the distributors and all of that, not just creating that work. And through that, she created a repository of some research and stuff. This year, we've taken all of that and we've built on it, and it's developed into Fakugezi Pro, which is where we turn pro for professional, we turn inward, and we invite all the professionals to come together and have important conversations.
Okay.
So that we can see how we move forward with purpose and with intent. So Fakugezi Pro is bringing together various people from Afrique Creative, Maputo Fast Forward, people creating festivals, entrepreneurs and all of us to come together. They showcase their work. We bring some of our entrepreneurs And that's how we're trying to build their network.
Okay.
So that's Vakugezi Pro. And then we've got our public program, and that is for young, old, everyone that just that's interested in animation and gaming. We've got various talks, panel discussions, TEDx-style talks, Pecha Kucha sessions. This is where we unpack and we've got the hard conversations. But then we've got various showcases as well. Great showcases, Habitat XR, Electric South, Matamba Films, British Council's Tech Stitched, which is VR showcases. So we're seeing the work that's being created. Then we've got an expo stand and or expo stands where... This is what I was referring to earlier, that expo thing that I want to develop. Yeah. Now we've got 8 stands. In 5 years' time, I want 80 stands. Mm.
Mm. 80 stands.
More. I want 100. I want it to be an expo.
I've got a dream, man. I've got a dream.
Yeah, you have to have a dream. And then we also, as I said, we've got our Afriverse program. The Afriverse program is a beautiful program. We are premiering the full dome work of Kwazu Kwazu Kela, which means in the beginning. It was created for Paris.
Okay.
Beautiful work. And then it came to South Africa and it wasn't really done properly. We've taken that work now and we've adapted it for a dome experience. So we're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. Habitat XR has come on board and they've given us various works that speaks to our climate justice theme that mm-hmm. we have this year and looking at environmental issues. So it's immersive. It's something that we want to do. As I mentioned earlier, we've got the Origin Center. And then we've got Family Day that's linked on the Sunday, where we're trying to create interest into all things digital from the younger age. And Saturday, we also have the Joburg Game Fest pop-up. So you can come for free and you can play some games that's in development. So all these prototypes are there and just be part of a community. And there's food trucks and music and it's a festival.
Nice.
And if this is the place where if you want to get involved, this is where you meet the people that you want to meet to get involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we've got all of these thought leaders in this room. Mm. We've got an explosive network here. So you want to come here, you want to be part of it, and you want to sell yourself. Why do people go to stuff like this? Yes, we want to listen and see what is the zeitgeist out there at this moment. But the biggest part is about networking. The biggest part is about community, and it's about seeing someone that does the same thing as you and having an opportunity to chat about that. So that's what we're trying to do.
And what are the tickets costs looking like?
The ticket starts at 40 Rand and it goes to 495 Rand. I mean, 495 is the most expensive one, but that's for a family of four. Okay. And that includes like the Surge experience where you can go to the dome and then we shuttle you to Origin Center and then we shuttle you to Tsimlokgong. So you get this whole immersive experience over 4 hours for 500 Rand, four people, two adults, two kids. And then there's various ticket prices. All of this is, of course, available at www.fakugezi.co.za.
All right, cool.
See, we gave him space to do the PR thing. We gave it some
Thank
space.
You. No, I appreciate it. I thought I was going to do this and you would be standing here at little show-up girl, like, stinging while I deliver this. I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed.
LB, I know you're busy, so thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think... I can see the energy and I think the things are coming together nicely. So I'm very happy to see it. Good.
Thank you, Scott.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for making the time, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Michaels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stanley.
That has been The Angle Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Do subscribe, like, share on all social platforms. Until next time. Angle.
See ya.
Ciao.